Psalm 23 is one of those known and famous passages, and no doubt most of us as children were admonished, encouraged, made to recite it and learn it. It's a good one to memorize. We see Psalm 23 I don't mean this in a bad way, but religious artwork or portions of it. I think I've seen such on maybe throws or something like that, that would be woven and would have that a scene depicted here in this psalm and words of that psalm. We'll see this psalm, we'll see it most often on at funerals and the remembrance card that's given out about folks that have loved ones and friends, family that have died. And that psalm is read at funerals, recited many, many times. Sometimes on headstones, you'll see portion of this psalm on the headstone, won't you? Think about it. We hear and see a lot of this psalm. Well, this morning, and you pray that I'll be able to get through this. We want to focus this morning on verse number 5. Verse number 5 is our focus this morning and what we want to keep in mind. Brother David writes, by inspiration of the Spirit of God, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Those last words is what we want to focus in on this morning. My cup runneth over. Our Lord has been so good to us as His people and His church and in our lives. And we all have a trial and troubling different things we have to deal with, testing by our Lord, and just life can be very difficult at times. But we think of that song and have been here recently for many weeks about counting our blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done, or our Lord has done. Not discounting at all the trial and the difficulty that different ones have had. And, you know, it's this, the cycle of this life is just up and down. It's the way that it is. And you have a very difficult thing, and then a more difficult thing comes, you know, and the Lord's working in us. There's all kinds of things going on at the same time. But indeed, isn't our cup running over? Now, we just had business meeting on Wednesday, and this is one piece of that, but it's a small piece of it, and I don't mean to discount it in any way, but our offering, or the treasury of the church, is bigger than it's been in a long, long time and greatly filled. That's not the cup I'm talking about. That's a piece of it. And praise the Lord for it. He knows our financial needs. Our Lord knows what lies ahead that we don't know what lies ahead. But you think about your life. If you're here and you're saved, you think about your life, what the Lord's done for you. You think about our lives together here at Olmsted Baptist Church, how the Lord saved us and even called us here to this church to be members here. Our cup runneth over. None of us live in cardboard. And I weighed myself this morning, and I'm pretty prosperous. We're eating, aren't we? We had a fellowship dinner last Sunday, and we're doing that. Ladies are doing that every Sunday. I tell you what, they can cook, can't they? Now, we live in this country. Our country's got trouble. But you know what? We've arrived at this day in part because of the Lord's blessings upon our country. Nobody in our country goes around dirty unless they want to. Consider that about other countries. People don't have a choice a lot of times about when they can wash up. It's so easy to take things for granted. It's, you know, what Brother Doug mentioned about the wind. I tell you what, sometimes the wind's a challenge, especially when it's blowing your hat off. Or you're trying to hold down a tarp or do something outside and the wind's blowing. It's just, you just can't get it done because it just flies everywhere. But I tell you what, we need the wind. It's a blessing from the Lord. It'd be a curse not to have any wind. Our cup, my cup runneth over. Brother David writes this psalm, the sweet psalmist of Israel. You wouldn't think that that would be a compliment for a warring man, would you? David was a fighter. And he said and gave testimony that the Lord is the one that caused him to be able to go and to fight and to leap over the wall and to have success in his leadership of the armies of Israel. And he was given great success of the Lord. And yet, what a contrast. This man would take a harp and sing unto his Lord. You know, he wasn't bashful about it. He didn't do it around the corner where nobody could see him. He didn't turn red face doing so. Yet this man was called from the sheep code out there, taking care of sheep, defending them so. He knew what it is. He knows what it is. Brother David's alive, isn't he? He knows what it is to be a shepherd. He knows the hardship of being a shepherd. He knows the blessing of being a shepherd. He knows what it is to lay down his life for the sake of the sheep. Brother David, to an extent, being a type of our Lord Jesus. When it came to tending sheep, Brother David knows what it's all about. And so he wrote. He wrote one day as the Lord impressed him, as he the thoughts of his heart, musings of his heart, he considered about himself being a shepherd and the shepherds there of Israel. And he said, the Lord's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. If you're here and saved, that's what you say, isn't it? He's my shepherd. He's mine and I'm his. I don't belong to anyone else. He's mine, my shepherd. A shepherd being a flock tender, the one that has rule and authority over the sheep, a ruler. It's not bad. Our nature doesn't want to have anybody rule over us, but I tell you what, we do need somebody. We need somebody to rule over us. And I tell you what, the Lord's the one. Praise his name that he does. He could just leave us as there are, have been, and are, and will be so many that just are allowed to go on their way. He's my shepherd. A companion. A shepherd would go out with the sheep seeking food for them and would be gone for days and weeks. And have no one to talk to, no one to commune with, no one to sing to, in David's case, but the sheep. The companion. We've spoken about that recently, about how near our Lord is. He is most near. A partaker of affliction. You know what? The sheep, when they would scrape themselves or become ill or whatever, they didn't get out the medicine kit and tend to themselves. The shepherd did that. He was watching. He was noticing about them, and he would get and do for them unto what their need was, even if it cost him. The Lord is my shepherd. a partaker of my affliction, trial, temptation. You know what? Jesus can always empathize, can he? The Lord is my shepherd. He can always empathize. He knows. You and I, maybe we can empathize in some things. But, you know, in many things and the way life is, there's just a lot of things that we can't. I'm sorry, our Lord can always sympathize. He can always sympathize. He's been there. And in some things we can sympathize one with another, but then there's things that we just try to stretch because we've just never been there. Unless you've been in those shoes, you just don't know. You just don't know. Our Lord can always sympathize with us. I misspoke there. Have to talk with my note writer. Our Lord knows. He's been in every situation that you and I have. We can only empathize with him. We try to stretch on what he does for us, but he always sympathizes with us. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my keeper. A keeper. He keeps me. Doesn't he keep you? He does. He keeps us, doesn't he? He keeps us. And he doesn't ever get anybody's situation mixed up, does he? He doesn't ever get anything confused. It's like, shoot the blessing down there. Shoot the help down. Oh, missed. The Lord never does that, does he? Oh, he knows. He knows us so well. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. There's no need for another, is there? The Lord's at hand. He's so good to us, to me, to you. I shall not want for anything. He loves me. If you're unsaved, you say that too, don't you? He loves you. He loves us. I shall not want because the Lord is my shepherd. He will see that there will be no lack ever. Oh, there might be lack in the physical things of life, but you know what? If that's the case, the Lord having directed it or allowed it, it's for my betterment. There's no lack ever in the Lord bringing us along. Yeah, we can buck against that as his children. We can buck against it. May the Lord help us that we do not do so. May we see that the Lord, he knows. He's our shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to lie down. You know what? There's rest in our Lord like none other. Rest. We're busy, busy, busy. Our culture is busy, busy, busy. There's much necessity, many, many things to do. It's always been that way. We can find it at times very hard to get the rest that we should have for these bodies. But I tell you what, from the standpoint of the spiritual aspect of life, which is the most important aspect of life, which is eternal, there is rest in Jesus. In turmoil and trial and tribulation and trouble, there's rest in him. He's our shepherd. Would you go to the world and Satan to try to find rest? You think they know about rest? They promise a false rest. But the Lord Jesus gives us an eternal rest. I tell you what, to have your sins forgiven and know that Jesus has the power and the wherewithal to pay for those sins, to know that they're gone of a surety, washed away by his blood, and that he'll take us on to be with him, and he's got promises in store for us. I tell you what, you can rest. There's no greater authority about all things spiritual and all things eternal than our Lord Jesus, is there? Green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Not an old barren wasteland. Our Lord has said indeed in the scriptures and the gospels that he's the bread of life and he's the water of life. In him we find all the nourishment and everything that we need. Green pastures. I tell you, that just brings a pleasant thought, doesn't it? Green pastures. And that green pasture that's being depicted there, here in this psalm, do you see any weeds? I don't see any weeds, do you? You know, and that's something how that is. We go out here to our field, we'll see some stuff that's growing out there that's problematic. But a green pasture of the Lord. You know how the wheat is green in the winter, coming on, heading towards spring? Isn't that pleasant to see that greenness at that time of the year for us in our seasons? I tell you what, it's just pleasant. I tell you what, the green of this green pasture is more green than that. When they're selling TVs and monitors and stuff these days, right? Don't they, one of the pictures that they throw up, you see it at Walmart, other places where you shop, those green fields. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Those green pastures to the sheep of the shepherd is home. They've got what they need there, don't they? A place of rest. A place where the shepherd can watch for danger because it's open and it's wide. A place where there's nourishment and just blessing because of our shepherd and because of our Lord. Don't we sing the song, "Anywhere is home if Christ my Lord is there"? The shepherd's at hand. Where else would we want to go? Those green pastures, a very pleasant place. His provision for us, for you and me in this, is very satisfying, isn't it? What does a sheep want? And good, rich, green grass. And the Lord provides richly for us, for his children. He does. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me. You hear that? He leadeth me. It's good to be led. Contrary to our thinking and the popular opinion, we do not know what we are doing. We need to be led. He leadeth me. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. He leadeth me. We sing about that. We sing also, though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way, though sometimes the path seems rough and steep. Hear about the path? Sometime to get to the green pastures, there's going to be a road to go that you and I would not want to go. But hear the words of the song. They come from the scriptures. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way, though sometimes a path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. He's leading us. Because he knows what we need and when we need it. He knows when it's time to exercise his children. Why? That our faith in him would be increased, and in that he would be glorified. That's what it's all about. He's leading us. He's leading me. Church, he's leading us. You know, it's not a matter, is the Lord leading? Oh, the Lord's leading for sure. We just got to get dialed into what the leadership is. He's leading. He's promised he'll never leave us or forsake us, individually and as his church. He's leading. We just need to find out what he's leading in. And I'm not saying that we're missing anything, but I tell you what, we need to be praying that we're not missing anything. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The still waters, it's easy to drink there. Sheep have a difficult time, as we understand, drinking from troubled waters. It's easy to drink by the still waters. It's, again, most peaceful, soothing rest in and from our shepherd. He's the bread of life. He's the living waters. He knows exactly what we need. And he takes us there. He is our living water. In John chapter 4, verse number 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, listen to this verse. I've read this for years. Are you here without Christ as your Savior? Are you lost and condemned in your sins before God Almighty, your Creator? I tell you, look at this verse. Read this verse for yourself. And hear what the Word of God says right here plainly in front of us. This woman was not saved yet. In John chapter 4, verse number 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who is that? That's Jesus. And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. It's the gift of God that's saying that, that's asking that or telling that. Thou would have asked him and he would have given thee living water. And that's what he's done for us, that he's saved, isn't it? He's given us living water indeed. I tell you what, we're satisfied in our Lord. I tell you what, we can become dissatisfied, as the brother prayed. This old flesh and this old mind can become very dissatisfied, very covetous. But I tell you what, the new man, the saved soul, is satisfied in Christ. Do you get bored with the Lord? I tell you what, there's nothing to be bored about in him. There's nothing. A sign of us being bored about our Lord, or what that signifies, is that we've got ate up and filled up with the way this world is and what this old man wants. Right. If you're getting bored with the Lord, because he's our shepherd. He said, if you knew who it was that's speaking to you, you would have asked him and he would have given thee living water. I tell you what, in him is where it's at. In our Lord Jesus is where the rescue for the soul is. He restoreth my soul, verse number 3. He restoreth. Oh, he's turned us, hadn't he? Turned us 180 degrees from what we thought was just the best offer and the best way to go out there. He caused me and causes me to repent. Praise his name. That old way that seemed right is a wayward sheep wander off, and the way they're going seems right to them. But I tell you what, when the shepherd comes and brings them in, then they're on the right way, the blessed way, aren't they? He turns back. He has turned back our souls from destruction and desolation. Repentance is at hand, and it pleases him, and it's right to acknowledge him that he's right and we're wrong. He's redeemed my soul. Amen. Restoreth. He delivers my soul. And you say that. I can't say that for you, but you say that for you, don't you? He delivers us. He's restored us. He restoreth my soul, Brother David wrote. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See his footprints all the way? Following after Jesus. The way that Jesus, the narrow way that Jesus charteth out is the way of life, the way of peace, the way of blessing. It is him. That way is him. And we rejoice in that, don't we? He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leadeth me, again, we've mentioned that in verse number 2, in the paths of righteousness, in the way of life that is him, in that narrow way of life, through the door that is him. There's no other way. The way that is him. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, it's not about us being glorified, but it's about him being glorified. And you know what? If we try to glorify ourselves, there can be some pleasure in that that'll last about this long. But things are upside down and the condemnation of the Lord's on us. But I tell you what, we line up in our right place and glorify him. There's peace. There's a blessing. Things are ordered right. When men, women, boys, and girls see that the Lord is true and hear him and hearken unto his word, and we glorify him in everything of life. We look to him and honor and acknowledge him for his name's sake. And that's not a bad thing. Naturally, we'd like it to be for our name's sake. But you know what? The way it is and the way that's true is for his name's sake. The Lord being glorified causes a child of God to smile. Amen? To smile, to rejoice that he's glorified. And what a blessing it is that we are partakers of that glory. We reflect that glory. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, for his glory and honor, that he would be praised. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Who could do such a thing with, a wretch like me, that I could be taken to glorify him? But he does that with us. We're on our way to destruction, being at enmity. And our shepherd has saved us and caused us, restored our soul and turned us that we might be found to sing and rejoice and to declare his righteousness and his praise. Who could do such a thing with a wretch such as I? But he does, and he's glorified in it. Verse number 4, yea, though I walk. Okay, now we're getting down to where the rubber meets the road. Oh, there's the blessings of life in this world, in this life. The Lord does that for us, and what a wonder it is. But what about now at the end of life? Yea, David says, declares, yea, though I walk, remember, he leadeth me. Yes, the Lord will lead his children ultimately to death of this physical body. He's leading us. He knows when it's time. He knows when it's time for us to move on from this place. He leadeth me, yet, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's leading me. What do you think about the valley of the shadow of death with no leader? That's fearful indeed, isn't it? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We got a message about this valley of death. You know what? There's two ways that you can walk in this valley of the shadow of death. You can walk long ways down this valley, always walking in death. That's where the sinner is without Christ. You know what's down at the end of that valley? Death for certain and for sure. Down there at the end of this valley is the second death. There's death now while each one that's without Christ lives. And there's death down there at the end that's eternal. You know what it is for the child of God? Just in a matter of thinking about this valley of the shadow of death, the children of God are led by their Lord. They come down through this valley. They come down through it. Oh, yeah, they're in the midst of it there as they pass on. But you know what? He leadeth me. And the Lord leads us right out of here. How are you going in the valley of the shadow of death? Long ways or across? Because the Lord leads us, because the Lord has saved us, because he is our shepherd and we are his sheep. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Nothing can touch me nor separate me from his love for me, can it? Nothing can separate us. What's he say there? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. And it is. He leadeth even through the valley of the shadow of death. He's with us. You know, it's caused me to think in consideration of the message. Much is considered and thought about the observation of us on the earth by those in heaven. I think that there are a lot of sentimentality that can go into that, and many things, many people think many things, okay? But I want us to consider, I want you to put yourself here, because I tell you what, we know the Lord is watching us, isn't he? We know that. The saints, I don't know. I don't have any scripture to tell you that they are or they are not. They're busy there praising and worshiping the Lord indeed. But the scripture says in Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The Lord Jesus is watching. You know, it's his kingdom. It's his domain, right? There with Brother Stephen, he said it in the book of Acts. He said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. And we know that the declaration is that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father because he's completed all that the Father's given him to do. But there, Brother Stephen's at hand. Brother Stephen, at his time to be killed for the Lord's sake and for his word and testimony, he sees the Lord Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What is the observation of our Lord, those around the throne there, as we are passing through that valley of the shadow of death? What are they saying? What are they saying? What is their attitude? What is their state of mind, if you will? Think about it. Think about it. What would they be saying? Here he comes. She's on her way. Do they have a frown on the face? I tell you what, they're rejoicing because they're waiting for their brother or sister. The Lord is ready to receive his saints with joy and rejoicing on the other side. Whether our brothers and sisters are there at hand, I do not know, but the Lord is watching. And here it is. See, consider the contrast. As we walk on this side through the valley of the shadow of death, to pass by death from this life unto the next, for the saints of God, for the saved of God, they're saying, look at there. He's coming on. He's almost here. And here he is. They're rejoicing. Our Lord rejoices in bringing us to himself. Now, how is it with us? We sorrow, don't we? And it's known we sorrow for ourselves. A loved one that has a testimony of being saved and the Lord having saved their souls, you know, we know it's better for them to go on. But we say, oh, they've died. And it takes us a while to get a handle on that. And I'm not belittling that at all. I'm not. Because it's just that way here. But what are they saying on the other side? Oh, they're rejoicing that they've arrived. They're rejoicing that they've arrived there to enjoy the Lord even more fully than we've ever experienced here on this side. It's been good. It's good on this side. What is their attitude as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death? The psalmist declares, he'll fear no evil because the Lord is with him. Are you here and without Christ? What's being said on the other side about you leaving out of this life? Oh, the sorrow will be here. Although there are some people that don't have even a person that cares about them. It's a sad thing, isn't it? Those that are indigent and don't have any loved ones, have no one that cares. How is it on the other side? I tell you what, it's terrible and dreadful on the other side. Without the Lord, without the Lord as shepherd, there's no one rejoicing. There's no one rejoicing on that other side. But just what happens is the necessity of the condemnation of judgment of God for sins unforgiven begins for an eternity. where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He goes on to say in this verse number 4, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod of correction, it's good to be corrected by a loving father, isn't it? It is. I tell you what, it's not pleasant when you're being whooped on. That's what happened to me, is I got whooped on. That rod of correction is very necessary. It's good. The Lord tells us those that he loves, he chastens. That rod of correction, I tell you what, that shepherd has got to take that rod and knock those sheep into line at time. Thy rod and thy staff, you know that of the staff speaks about a helping lift. A helping lift. He lifts us up, doesn't he? He helps us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He gave this thought to the valley of the shadow of death and about the end of life, and then comes back to now and how the Lord, even then at the end of this life and ushering into the next and through this life, the rod of correction and the staff of uplifting, they comfort me. I was thinking about this, you know, and maybe you're doing outside work or you have to run the chainsaw a little bit or raking up leaves or whatever. Or back in the summer when you're mowing grass and weed eating or whatever it is that you do and you're all filthy and you go in, you take a shower and you get all cleaned up and then you hit the recliner. What is it that you do when you hit the recliner? A sigh. A sigh is so off. That's what this word comfort is speaking about. We rest in our Lord. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He cares for me and loves me enough to correct and uphold us. And indeed, he gives us rest. Verse number 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The worst that it can be, he provides for me and for you in the greatest of turmoil, loneliness, temptation, trial, you name it. He provides for us. The whole world can be unraveling and falling apart, and the Lord can provide for us and does provide for us. We need to go to him. We need to know that he's there. We need to petition him. We need to thank him and have confidence in him that he does so. He's promised he will. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The worst that it is in this life, with the Lord there is blessing and help. Thou anointest my head with oil. I'm set apart for him. There's no expense too great that he would not provide for us. Isn't that what the scripture says? If he didn't withhold his son, will he withhold anything? He gave the greatest price for our redemption. Thou anointest my head with oil. I think it speaks here about he has baptized me in his Holy Spirit. And don't get excited. I'm not saying this the way that the Pentecostals say it. But I tell you what, that is a definition of salvation, as being immersed in the Holy Spirit of God. We've got the Spirit of God living within. It is by him that we have life. Thou anointest my head with oil. He blesses us and causes us to prosper in his way. It may not have dollar signs on it, but I tell you what, what's the treasure that doesn't rust? What's the treasure that you don't have to put mothballs in to keep the moths from eating it? I tell you what, it's that treasure we have in our Lord that we lay up in heaven by hearing him, believing him, trusting him, and obeying him. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I tell you what, consider what's been said. More blessings than you and I are able and have room to receive. Amen? I mean, can you get your mind around them all at the same time? All of them, all at the same time? Do they run out? Do they get stagnant? Do they get old? Do they get tarnished? I tell you what, we just can't visit them all in our mind all at the same time to be able to rejoice in them. But I tell you what, when they come around and we understand those aspects, doesn't our cup run over? Yeah. Amen. Our cup, my cup runneth over. That's what Brother David declared. Our cup is running over. This being the case in verse number 6, all this being the case, the Lord is my shepherd, and all that he does, all that he's done, all that he's promised, his care for us continually, he'll never leave us or forsake us. Surely, preached some messages on verily some time ago, and verily, verily, same word, verily. Surely, the Lord doing all this, and it is present tense, the Lord doing all this, surely goodness and mercy. Hear that? Goodness from God. His with his thinking towards me, is there any cause to doubt? Will he not bring us to the end that he has planned and purposed? Will he not fulfill his promises to me and to you? Surely goodness and his mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Here and there. Amen? Not just here, but there. Surely goodness, verily, because of all this, if you will allow, therefore and wherefore. I mean, look what's been declared. There's no doubt, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And praise God, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Where else you want to live? You got a better deal? Is there a better deal out there? Is there a better offer out there? And I don't mean to speak of it lightly. What is there better? You know what? You and I, we that are saved and here, members of Olmsted Baptist Church, we are his house. And we dwell and we abide here. And I praise his name for it. And one day we're going to move our membership to glory. And we will dwell with him, do his bidding, praise him and honor him and glorify him. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. After all the days of my life, we will live, I will live, you will live with him forever. In conclusion, I tell you what, brothers and sisters, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. How about yours? How about your cup? What do you have to say about your cup? We ask that to everybody in the house. What do you have to say about your cup?